Amen. Hallelujah. You take your seat. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. These are fifth class. So we have two more. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. Incline an ear to my sayings. Amen. And that gives us a sense of commitment to listening. Attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. In other words, keep listening to it. Like I said the other time, there are some subjects you can't afford to use reserve knowledge. You have to keep listening to the word in that area. We said one of them is healing. Healing is an area, is either you need it for yourself or for someone that you know or is close with and to you. You can't say because you teach it. You know, it's one of those subjects that you can teach it and someone else is the one receiving from it. Amen. And so, healing is a subject that you should be able to teach, thank God. But you should be able to practice it. Hallelujah. In all practical terms. And one of the reasons why you need to be at the on the edge. You know, I tell people that there's something about being on the edge about subjects. You know what it means to be on the edge? It's like something's about to happen. You're always like this. You know. About some subject. What I mean by that is you are ready to do something. It's not one of those subjects you pick up once in 6 months. No. In fact, I always counsel people to meditate on the subject of healing on a daily basis. It's like food. Why? Because your body is mortal. Your body is mortal and exposed to all sorts of things. So you've got to be on the edge as touching, receiving from God's power. You've got to be like that. There's a subject just like the leading of the Spirit. You can't afford to say, I understand it. And that's all to it. It has to be something like food. You eat it. You take it. And in spiritual terms, eating is twofold. Eating is something you do with the heart and with the mouth. With the heart and with the mouth. With what? With what? The heart and mouth. You know, we said something earlier today in the service when I explained the 1 Corinthians 10:3. I'm not going in the first service. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 10:3. And I showed you what it meant by to eat, to drink. You remember? That we said that the meat and the drink wasn't the physical things. It was in their heart. So how do you eat and drink? It's by your heart and mouth, your mind, which is where your heart functions, will meditate upon it. You know, we all meditate. I was telling someone that said, there's nobody that doesn't have respect. It's only what you don't respect is what they say. That's why they say you don't have respect. You respect something. They say some people are very shy. They don't talk. No, maybe they don't talk to you. Is that clear? They talk. And so, meditation, we all meditate. I mean, there's no human being that doesn't think. Right now, probably you are thinking, when is it going to end? So we all think. So meditation is what occupies your mind. And one of the attributes of meditation is that it forms images. You see things. In the Hebrew, when you use the word meditation, is the Hebrew word agah, and it implies to shout. Okay? To shout. Let's shout a bit. Is that shout? Come on, shout again. Hold on,
hold on, before they think something is happening.
Now, what does that imply? You can't hear anything else, right? That's meditation. It's not a passive thinking. Oh, you are the Lord, I heal at me. No, it's a loud one where you can't hear anything again. So that's in Hebrew. Now, in the Greek, it says melitao, which has to do with something you care about. And that's something you give your attention to. You care about it so much that you give your attention to it. You give your attention to it. So whatever you meditate upon, you give your attention to it. And how you, one of the ways you know it is, you say it so often. You talk about it so often. I remember one time, we went to see someone, and I had been told he was ill. So we went, myself and two sisters, one brother, we went to see him, and we were there to pray for him. And we were there for 2007 or 6. We were there for about 2 hours or so. And I'm sure that the number of minutes we had to talk was less than 20 minutes. In fact, he spent time explaining what the doctor said to him. It was a lecture. He showed us pictures of his heart. He showed us the one before it moved, after he moved. You know, naturally, even if you have all the 9 gifts of the Spirit dripping in your body, there's a way they would disappear. He spent that time talking. So what he was doing was meditation. He spent that time telling us. And you know that he's repeating something he already knows. So he kept talking about it, you know, and this had happened. In fact, they brought the best physician, the best consultant. At some point, there was one man said that God will have it. I didn't miss the man's appointment. And I said that. So, when he was done, I think what he wanted was your story. You know, and we said, enough sorry, wow. I mean, you have to show empathy. You say, ah, wow. Wow. Oh. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You know, and you know, everybody, if you've been born again just for a few years, you have some auto responses. It is well. Oh, praise God. By his grace, you know. I'll tell you the truth. That was all he could have done. He had meditated so much. I mean, by the time someone who read a Greek can start explaining the anatomy of a human body, the physiology and diseases, you know, that is quite an education in sickness. And so meditation is vital. You need to, you know, it says, incline your ears. Incline your ears. Amen. How long do some of us see doctors? Five is Nigerian doctors. Some of them see Nigerian, just say it's malaria. And that 10 minutes, 20 minutes, is as though you cling on to whatever they have to say. Amen. If we can have faith in God's healing power that same way. You know, and there's this faith you release to drugs. When you take the first one, by the next afternoon, the thing is still there. You know that, well, it's for 1 week. So somewhere your mind is on the end of the 1 week. But when you come to church, I hear the word of God like that. You are not even taking it at all. By the evening, if the symptoms is there, say, I don't understand this. Oh. You can say. So, really we need to work on how we receive God's word and act upon it. So, you know, once again, I'll remind us of a few things, you know, some very simple things that you ought to take care of. You know, you can get to a point, I'm sure that there are some of us that at the earlier stages of the faith, when we learned the truth of the faith, we were cautious of how we spoke. Then after a while, we became loose. You know, and it didn't matter. It got to a point, it really didn't matter. You know, you were more careful of what you preached than what you said. You know, you want to ensure that you cover the, you cross the T's, dot the I's in your sermons, and you're very particular. If I say it the proper way, is this how Pastor taught us? Let me think about it again and all that. And you're very meticulous about that. But you know something? What about your everyday living? What about being meticulous? Because you know that the effect of your words can destroy and make people. So what about being that meticulous about how you use words generally? You're just meticulous. Because if your words are that important, then they should not just be important on the pulpit or when you're in evangelism. Amen. The way false doctrines can destroy in evangelism, speaking things contrary to God's word can equally destroy. So be meticulous also in how you speak. Be meticulous. Be meticulous in the way you use your words. Now, let's see something. In Mark 11, there was something there that happened. Amen. Hallelujah. Mark 11, 23. Now, the background was that Jesus spoke to a fig tree, which figuratively had to do with what he said about the temple. But just like every sign of Jesus, you know, the miracles of Jesus will always point to a greater event. But the miracles always have a principle of faith or a principle of Christian living. And in Mark 11, you know, he saw a fig tree, he spoke to it, he said, "No man eat of you again hereafter." And then disciples heard him. One thing was that he spoke. If there was something about Jesus that you could say was most outstanding in the four Gospels, was how he spoke. In fact, at some point, they said he spoke as one that had authority. Not like one of the scribes. He spoke like one who had authority. So Jesus' words were authoritative. Whether it was teaching, whether he was praying for the sick, whether he was praying, whether he was rebuking the Pharisees, whatever he was doing, his words were authoritative. So when he spoke to the fig tree, it was not anything different from how he taught. He said, "No man eat of thee forever," and scripture says that disciples heard it. Then, of course, when they were passing by again, then Peter called to remember and said, "Master, the fig tree you cursed has dried up to its roots. The fig tree you cursed has dried up to his roots." Then he says, "Have faith in God." Verse 22. Some versions will put, "Have the faith of God." And he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," look at that 23. "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says." So he puts the emphasis on how he spoke. Not just the fact that he spoke, but how he spoke. How did he speak? "Whosoever shall say," okay, "to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever things he says." So he's not just talking about speaking. He tells us how. "Whosoever shall say and shall not doubt, but shall believe that those things that he says, he shall have whatsoever he says." And unlike You know, if Jesus was talking about himself, he wouldn't use the word whosoever. Just like salvation. Whosoever believes in him should not perish. That's not about himself. John 3:16. Okay? So when he says whosoever, that's not about himself. In other words, he says it's whosoever. Whosoever in the faith of God shall say to this mountain and shall not doubt. Now look at something. But shall believe that those things that he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. Now, the construction there is, there was a different use of the word say, such that the last one carries something you keep saying in finality, and shall not doubt. Now, look at something very vital there. If there was no need to persist, the word shall not doubt would not be included. Which means that it's very possible that I will say, and there will be nothing happening. That's why he says, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have what things soever he says. And this is where sometimes we have symptoms. We have been prayed for, hands have been laid on us, you know, and then we still feel the symptoms. You still feel the pain. You know, you still see it there. You still wake up and see it. Then he says, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. You know, some of us have a way of talking before the world. You know, and that's where the testimony stuff might work against many people. We have a way of talking before the world, but when we are alone, we don't say anything. I thank God, though. You know, almost like putting up an appearance for people to believe us. Putting up an appearance for people to say, that guy is standing on the word. You know? But when we're alone, or when we are with ourselves, it's almost like there's really nothing we are doing but nothing. But here he says that, should not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says shall come to pass. You know, I said it yesterday, when we were teaching on the book of Mark, that Mark had two key words, fear and faith. You remember? Now, notice something again, that at the end of all the four gospels, alright, of all the four gospels, only the Mark's gospel carried something. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now, notice that it talks about the consequences. Then it says something again. He that believes not, Mark 16:15-16, shall be damned. He that believes not shall be damned. He that believes not shall be damned. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believes shall be saved. He that believes not. Believes what? Believes what you say. Because you are preaching the gospel. Believes what you say. Believes what you say. Which means that words, therefore, are very vital. Words are important. What about thinking like this? That my mouth is not just for eating. I know you know that. I mean, there are many times you are hungry. Right? My mouth is not just for me to eat. That's one. You know also, my mouth is not for me to also gist. What about adding that? If you observe, the scriptures give you a guideline on what to do with your mouth. Don't sing with it. So I regulate it. But you can also say, my mouth is to preach the gospel. Mark 16:15. My mouth is to give thanks to God always. Is there anybody that has given thanks with his eyes before? I've not seen one. I've not seen anybody that gave thanks just shaking his head. You give thanks by saying something. My mouth is to give thanks. My mouth is to pray. So my mouth is to preach the gospel. My mouth is to edify. My mouth is to pray. So therefore, I must see my mouth as a tool for spiritual realities. I preach the gospel with my mouth. I praise with my mouth. I pray with it. I'm filled with the Spirit with my mouth. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Seeing. Be filled with the Spirit kneeling down. Be filled with the Spirit speaking. Speaking. So, the Mark 11 principle is applicable even in the preaching of the gospel. I will say in my preaching, and I do that. I'm preaching and I'm saying authoritatively. One. Look at the book of Acts. Look at Acts 2. Acts 2. You know, after Luke had told us what Peter preached, he now said in verse 40, with many other words. With many other words. With many other words. The words of Peter. Now what happened? They that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Amen. So what would you say? Would you say, God saved 3,000 souls? You are right. Right? But you will say, God saved 3,000 souls when Peter spoke. Was that correct? Huh? Or, God saved 3,000 souls as Peter looked at them. Eh? As he admired them. As he ate with them. No. As Peter spoke. So which means that when I'm talking, God is walking. People got born again. So when I'm talking, God is walking. But you know, my words look like I'm just talking. I'm just talking. I may not even feel anything. I'm just talking. But I'm talking and God is walking. I'm talking and God is walking. Which means my words are God's tools in the earth. My mouth is God's tool in the earth. Amen. Lift one hand and say, my mouth is the access of God's power into the earth. Say, the power of God comes into the earth through my mouth. Think about that. That my speaking put the power of God. Say the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Is there a gospel if there is no preaching? Huh? No, there's none. So that means when it says it's the power of God unto salvation, it is when it is spoken. So this, my mouth, brings the power of God into the earth realm. It alters things. How do you know you are born again? You say, well, you just remember that somebody preached the same gospel to you and you were saved. And they say, are you saved? You say, yes. Why are you saved? Because somebody preached to you. Which means that the person's words gave access to God's power to save in the earth. Amen. You know, you can decide in 2020 to train your mouth. What about that? To train your mouth. To just train how you talk. Since you know that your mouth gives access to God's power, you train your mouth. The other day we looked at it in church. How your words can corrupt another person. They can. James says that if you can bridle your body, your words, you can bridle your entire being. This morning we looked at putting your body under. Can your body be put under without your words? The way you put your body under is with your words. Some have tried to break a habit. And they try to break a habit by running helter-skelter. Don't run helter-skelter. The first place to break a habit is in your words. I acknowledge who God says I am. I affirm what He says I have. I can do what He says I can do. You know, you first of all affirm the reality of what you are going to practice in whatsoever things that you say. Put a premium on your words. Amen. I know we have access to a loose world. A world where people's words are just spoken. People speak in anger, unbelief, they speak their mind, they speak what they are going through, they express everything. But you know, I can just decide to only speak the word. You know, I will not be called of God unrighteous if all I speak is His word. No, I won't be. He says, by the many words. Whose words? Peter's words. As if they want you to pay attention, in chapter 5, when Peter was set free, himself and John, from prison. Look at what the angel told them to do. Acts 5:20. Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of life. All the words of life. All the words of life. They were to speak words. Acts 10. What did the angel say to Cornelius? That he may speak words whereby you might be saved. He may speak words whereby you might be saved. Brothers and sisters, you know what? Put value on your words. 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 Whereby you might be saved. Imagine the picture of an angel didn't bring salvation. An encounter in the vision didn't bring salvation. Where did salvation come to the house of Cornelius? What was said? If salvation can come via speaking, then I therefore can see many things that God will do in the earth will also be done by speaking. After all, when we pray also, we are speaking. When we praise, we are speaking. When we prophesy, we are speaking. So what else is not done through speaking? When we got born again, Romans 10:8, what saith it? The word is nigh thee in your heart, in your mouth. That is the word of faith. Mouth and heart. That's the word of mouth. That's the word of faith we preach. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, He says the word so often. He says, say not in your heart, who shall go? Say not in, who shall go down to bring Christ again from the dead. But the rest of his faith speaketh on these words. He says it so often that when he got to 9, he said, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So salvation, okay? Being filled with the Spirit, speaking. Preaching the gospel, same. What else? What else? Prophesying. There's a whole lot that God does in the earth through speaking. A whole lot. A whole lot. A whole lot. Therefore, my mouth is not just for eating or chattering. Or you know, someone that just talks anyhow. I see my mouth from today as God's access into the earth. I see my mouth as God's access into the earth. Into the earth's activities, I see my mouth as God's access into the earth. Amen. 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 My mouth is an access for the power of God in the earth today. Hallelujah. My mouth is an access for the power of God in the earth today. Amen. My mouth. My mouth. Words. Whereby you might be saved. Words. You know, how did Jesus, let me say this by the way, how did Jesus know that his disciples were afraid? What they said? Carest not that we perish. Why are you afraid? In other words, the same way fear access into the earth is by words. Fear will die unborn till you give it the same legitimate right in your words. It will die unborn. It will die unborn. He knew that they were anxious by what they said. He knew they were afraid by what they said. By what they said. So therefore, I see my mouth as God's access into the earth. It brings salvation. It brings direction. It also brings healing. We'll get to that now. Rather than just saying, well, I don't know what to do. What about saying God leads me? What about saying God leads me? What about saying God leads me? You know, many of us love that song by Pastor Wale, I walk in the light and all that. But sometimes we only sing it in the service. We sing it in the service. But in our everyday vocabulary, it's not there. We say, I don't know so often that I want to ask you, what then do you know? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know. I can't even say. I can't even talk. I don't even know. I don't even know. I don't even know. And sometimes you think that those things don't matter, but they do. Because what you are simply doing is you are meditating on fear and doubt. What about saying, I know? And your mind is saying, what do you know? Say, I know. I know I'm led by the Spirit of God. I know I'm led by the Spirit of God. You know, maybe they just sent you a letter from the HR and said, you know what? They asked you to leave. And you left your workplace. Someone said, what are you now going to do? You will say, I don't know. See, I'm led by the Spirit of God. My steps are well ordered. I know what to do. And I'm going to do, that's good though. Has anybody called you for an appointment? Don't bother about that. I know what to do. You are not responding to, or you are not responding with maybe a doubt on your mind. You are speaking the integrity of God's word. Because you walk in the light as is in the light. Hallelujah. You will not walk in darkness. So you have put that ahead of your own experiences. Right in your mind, there's fear. What am I going to do now? Well, they asked me to apply in that place. I didn't apply the last time. They said that's closed. That is what you are prone to say immediately. Oh, you know, I don't know. Hey, what will now happen? And all that. So where is food going to come from? If your salary stops now, you even took a loan. And that loan, they'll take your, rather than they give you a benefit, it will go with the loan. Just say, God supplies all my needs. You know, you can choose to say that then. What are you doing? You are giving access to God's power in the earth. God's direction, which is already yours. Now ask access into what you are doing. Amen. Are you following? Are you following? Imagine Jesus saying that every idle word, every man speaks, he'll give account. That's heavy. That's heavy, right? Every idle word, you'll give account. Every idle word. That's why today, one of the examples we have about Jesus is there was no guile found in his mouth. 1 Peter 2, 21 and 22. There was nothing found in his mouth. When he reviled, he reviled back. He said, every idle word. So my words matter. My words matter. There is no way I will glorify God when I glorify sickness and disease. Because God didn't do it. I said, because God didn't do it. Because God didn't do it. So I won't be glorifying it when I say so much about it. But you know, God heals. God heals the sick. He heals the sick, raises the dead, cleanses lepers, he opens blind eyes. Amen. So I say that because my words are meant to glorify God. Amen. My words matter. It gives access to God's power in the earth realm. And therefore, I yield my words to the power of God. I yield my words to the power of God. I yield my words to the power of God. Not to my experiences. Not to fear, not to doubt, not to worry, but to the power of God. The healing power is God's power. I yield my words to the healing power. I yield my words to the healing power. I don't use my words to announce the symptoms. I don't use my words to announce how I feel. I use my words to announce God's power. My words will not cooperate with the symptoms. My words cooperate with the healing power. Amen. Not to the symptoms. Of course, the natural human mind wants you to discuss the symptoms and talk about it and say it well. So you will feel, there's something about just pouring your heart out. You pour your heart. Then you feel relief, but it's momentary. Pouring your heart doesn't change anything. In fact, have you called someone before? And you told the person, you know, you need this money and all that. You felt you had rehearsed the speech. You said everything. The person said, oh, sorry, oh. And I just sent you. So, don't think that if you say your heart, a solution will come. No. Put God's word on your lips. Hallelujah. Put God's word on your lips. Look at Mark 5. We're going to look at two stories. Open to Mark 5 and Romans 4. Say it again, my word. Don't cooperate with the symptoms. My words cooperate with the power of God. Amen. You know, the symptoms are very real to you. They wake you up at night and in the afternoon. You know, they wake you up. They remind you so often of what had happened or what is happening. But you know what? You can put God's word or God's power to work. Just put the word of God on your lips. Give access to God's power. Amen. 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 Give access to it. Give access to it. Give access to it. Mark 5. You know the story. Now, I want us to just look at something critical that happened there. Again, this is Mark. The woman with the issue of blood, she heard. We looked at that the last time. What are you hearing? Can you remember that? What are you hearing? What are you hearing? She heard of Jesus. You know, she's heard of Jesus. She could have decided to hear something very funny. But she heard about the power of God. Then Mark says, for she said, if I touch the hem of his clothes, I will be whole. She said, knowing that God can do it, will do nothing. Knowing he has done it for someone, will do nothing. Knowing how to share it and teach others, will do nothing. But she said, the Greek is a continuous word. She kept saying, if I but touch the hem of his clothes, I shall be whole. She kept saying it. I want us to observe something there. She was already been treated by many physicians for how long? 12 years. Which means that the symptoms were there. Imagine symptoms for 12 years. Some of us, it's just 1 week symptoms. We think the power of God has raptured. 12 years. She didn't get better, she got worse. Doesn't mean that doctors were bad. It just means they didn't get the solution. They didn't get the solution. I once asked someone something. I said, well, who are you going to believe now? I said, the doctors have said to you, this is the case. And it's as far as it can go. I said, who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe God? I said, yeah, believe God now. Praise God. And stop showing me this x-ray. It's not going to do me any good. Number one, I studied law. So I'm not going to help you out. I'm just going to look at it and say, thank you for the video. But it's done nothing to me. It's going to do nothing to you. I mean, you just told me, well, this is what they said. They found XYZ. Look, what are you going to believe now? Assuming they told you there's no big deal. It's no big deal that, you know, there's nothing there. You can tell me and we thank God. But that's not what they said. They told you there's big deal. But there's a bigger deal. The power of God is the bigger deal. So put that down, Oga. Put it down. The more you are talking about it, how do you want us to pray? Amen. Let your mouth now be the access of God's power. For she said, how important are words? Look at verse 36 and 35. When those folks came back from the house of Jairus, and they said, don't trouble the master. Now, let me say something. I want you to observe something there. Don't trouble the master any further, for the girl is dead. You know, sometimes, even you, a preacher, a Christian, can be a transmitter of fear. Don't trouble the master, chief, you know, any longer. And you say, well, I'm only telling reality, I'm only telling you what's going on. I told you, you can give somebody a medical advice without putting fear into the person's heart. You can ask someone to take care of his health or her health without putting fear in the person's heart. There's a way you can describe the situation in a positive light. Or you should shed your weight. You know it's not good. for you to keep your weight like this. It's not healthy. Don't say, better shed your weight or you die young. You know, that's horrible. You don't have to put fear in people's hearts. Same way too, you can describe a situation without concluding in fear. What about saying, yeah, there's this pain on my leg. It's quite hurting. It's quite, it may increase at night or at my back or in my tummy. But I thank God. You know, you are not lying about it. Neither are you giving it the feelings, dominion over your heart. But the power of God is working. Amen. So faith in no way denies the facts. No, it doesn't. Faith doesn't say there's no mountain. Doesn't say there's no sickness. I've never seen Jesus minister to sick like this. You are not blind. He never said so. You know you are not deaf. He never said that. He never said, you know there's no sickness. Or as Jesus went through the cities, there was no sickness and they were healed. No, he didn't say that. You know? But there was sickness and then he spoke God's word over it. Hallelujah. Be open, he said to the deaf ear. That means he knew it was deaf. So she said, now look at something in Mark 5. Those folks transmitted fear. Let me just say this. We too, as friends of people who probably are believing God for a healing and a cure, we should never surround them with those facts. We should be transmitters of faith that when they are around us, they can believe God. When they are around us, they can believe God. There are some people, you should not even, don't even try and tell them what is happening. Oh, ah, yay, oh, that's what they're going to say. Hey, oh, I know those A will be A on your heart. But call the right person and say, praise God. I believe God with you. How we know that God's word is true. He's done it before, he can do it again now. You know, things that you need to hear again and again. And again and again. Now look at that verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard it, he turned. Which means that Jesus knew the import of the words they said. What he was basically saying is, don't repeat what they said. There are some things that should die when they get to you. Rumors should die when they get to you. Amen. Evil speaking. Dishonor. Amen. Malice or malicious words. Hallelujah. Doubt should die when it gets to you. Doubt should die when it gets to you. Unbelief should stop as soon as it gets to you. As Jesus heard it, it stopped. When he heard it, what it means is that those guys that came back and told him, they said, fear not, only believe. They stopped talking. They stopped talking. So learn to shut out doubt. And of course, I mentioned something in the service also today. When they got to Jairus' house, and, you know, people were there, professional mourners, you know, those who are anointed to cry. They were already crying. They say, oh, what now happened? Why would this happen? So she used to serve God, though. And you know, Jairus was a very, very committed worker in church. You know, I said, you know, things happen in Christianity these days. We can't even explain it. You know, but we thank God, Sha. We give God praise, at least, you know. And they were saying nice, nice things. And Jesus entered and said, why are you all doing this? The damsel is only sleeping, she's not dead. And they turned immediately and started laughing. I mean, the kind of laughter that you hear them on the road. And what did Jesus do? He said, I don't like it though. That's not what he did though. Yeah, they're like, what are you guys doing now? Don't do this. Believe. No. He puts them all out. There are things you need to put all out around you. You're believing God for a miracle. You're trusting God for his power. You're trusting God for healing in your body. There are things you need to put out. Amen. As soon as somebody changes the channel in your house, please remove that thing. I want to watch. I said, change the channel. Or you walk out if it's not your house. Hallelujah. You know, there was a time like that. That I just stopped watching TV for a while. Why? Because I wanted to build something in my heart. I just stopped watching it. Some of us need to discipline ourselves. You know, around folks. You know, you like a friend. You say, that friend, I like being around this person. This person, you know, he just keeps the whole room bubbling. Excuse me. The whole room bubbling. Oh, he likes to just, when he's around. Have you ever listened to what he says? Does he talk the word? No. So you are enjoying rubbish. And you are wondering why you are not believing God. You can see it now. This person likes doing this. Jesus put them out of the room. Put it out of the room. Amen. She said, if words meant nothing, Jesus will not say it's your faith that made you whole. Words mean a lot. Say, my words do not cooperate with the symptoms. My words cooperate with the power of God. Hallelujah. You don't cooperate with the symptoms. Not at all. My words cooperate with the power of God. My words cooperate with the power of God. The man, Phil Driscoll, was told that he had this throat disease. They will never sing again. Well, tell the doctors he has been singing and we have been getting blessed. Hallelujah. He has been singing and we have been getting blessed. In fact, they told him that after the surgery is just to make him talk again. But as for singing, close the door. Hallelujah. But he has been singing. Amen. So the truth of the matter is that with your words, cooperate with God's power. And with your words, don't cooperate with the symptoms. Symptoms are already there. Whether you're saying it or you don't say it, they're already there. They're there anyway. You're feeling the headache already. The back pain is there. Your tummy is paining you. Your back is paining you. The way you urinate has been that way. It's already there. So, you're saying, what if I don't talk about it? Well, whether you talk about it, you don't talk about it, it's going to be there, right? That is it now. What about talking about God's power? You read it in scripture. You've seen others healed. And I can also tell you, you have seen yourself healed before. It has happened before, it can happen again. I said it can happen again. It can happen again. So you simply release your words to God's power. Don't use your words for fear. What did I say? Don't use your words for fear. Don't do it. Now look at something that woman did. She said, if I touch his clothes, I'll be healed. You know, that is meditation. She saw in what she was saying that she will be healed. Many times, we are saying something, but there's something else in our hearts. She saw it. If I but touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Now, do you know that she was the one that told that story? Jesus did not even know somebody was healed. Oh, he knew somebody was healed. He said, who touched me? Then she came and said, what happened to you? And she told the story. Now, if there was something wrong with that story, he would have said, he said, your faith made you whole. Your faith. In other words, what she did was faith. She said, how often should I speak God's power? I'm asking. Once a day? Let me say, okay, I'm going to get better now. This year, in 24 hours, I'll make sure I speak God's word in 2 hours. We say, you're good, that's good. 2 hours, 2 hours in 24 hours. No. Let me improve. I'll speak God's word in 3 hours. Yeah. It's true. Yeah. 3 hours or 24 hours. Oh my, you are spiritual, no? I'll step up. In 4 hours. But have you asked how many times you talk? Why not say I'll speak God's word all the time? All the time. There is no special time of the day where it is reserved that, okay, this is for spiritual speaking. No. Whilst you are in a business discussion and the issue of sickness comes up, you speak God's word. Whilst you are in a secular casual discussion and it's issue of sickness, you speak God's word. That means you will train yourself to always say. I believe that was what the woman did. She's in the kitchen, she's speaking. She's speaking. She's speaking. She's driving, she's speaking. She wakes up, she says it. She goes to bed saying it. She said it. She said it. Second thing that is present there, we'll look at it next week, is the power of God. So, faith gives direction to the power of God. Now, what is faith in that scenario? What she said. My words give direction to the power of God. Look at Romans 4. Romans 4. Something very similar. Romans 4. Abraham. Let's look at the situation. Verse 19. Not being weak in faith, considered not his own body, now dead. Look at that word. Considered not his own body. How long had his body been, dead? I think long enough. But look at the key thing there. He considered it not. You know, you can put in brackets symptoms. What about that? He considered not his own body now dead, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. That means, as God spoke and he believed, he could still see the evidence of his body now dead. But that is where the faith walk is. He considered not. He considered not. He considered not. He considered not. That's the symptoms. That's the pain. He considered not his own body now dead, nor the deadness when he was about 100 years old. You know, that's long enough to have given up. It's long enough to just forget it. Long enough to quit praying. Long enough to keep thanking God. Just like the woman, 12 years. 12 years. But you know what? He considered not the deadness of Sarah's womb, nor his body now dead. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that he had promised, what he had promised, he was able to perform. Now, this is to, what Romans 4 is doing here is breaking down something into four things. I won't talk about the four, but let me just mention them. It broke down one single activity into four things. What was that activity? Look at verse 17. I may be a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, some people have argued that it is God who calleth the things that be not as though they were. Right? It is good. It is good. Are we not to act on the word like God will? No. So let me even say it is God. So if I now do what God has said, will I be walking in sin? No. Amen. He calls the things. That means the way Abraham did not consider his body was by what he was saying. Was by what he was saying. I was saying this in service. I was going to talk about this. There's something that is very similar to faith. It's called mental assent. Mental assent will describe it. It will tell you it has happened before. It will tell you I've seen it happen before. I've laid hands on the sick. Oh, somebody laid hands on the sick. It's in the Bible. Mental assent will describe it. He will tell you the Greek word, the Hebrew word. Mental assent will describe it for you. I know what and it's, but mental assent, when it comes to you acting upon it, say, well, but in my case, I don't know what is going on. Or it's not true. It's not true. It says he called the things that be not as though they were. And as he was doing that, he was not considering his own body now dead. Now about 100 years old. Nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. So when I call the things that be not as though they were, what am I doing? I'm also giving thanks to God. My confession must always give thanks to God. I thank God his power is working now. I thank God he's healing his mind now. I thank God because he's healing me now.
is healing me now. Imagine, you are right there on the bed, you've not gotten up. And you are saying, I thank God because I'm getting up. I thank God because my legs are walking and they're fine. I thank God. I thank God. I give him praise. And what are you doing? You are not considering your body. You are not. You are not. You are not. You know, whatever, what do you think Abraham did there? What about shutting yourself in and all night? And the whole night. So I'm saying, all night. Have you not done all night before and you were thinking of the implications of the sickness? Sometimes 2 hours. Sometimes you'll be so worried that you won't know when time has passed. Now replace that energy with the word. And consider not the deadness or the symptoms of your body. Don't. 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 Giving thanks to God. Giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. Amen. Calling the things that be not as though they were. Will mean while you can physically see it, you will speak God's word. You can feel it. You can see it. You will speak God's word. Hallelujah. There was one story like that a friend of mine told me. A guy had a goiter problem here. And so he kept saying, well, I'm healed. The goiter is gone. And at the beginning, people started feeling, he was one that prayed for the guy. I think he was somewhere in the Bumosha as well. He prayed for the guy. People felt, at the beginning, you think, ah. But you know, when you say it for 1 month, people will now start saying, bro, so, so and so. I thank God for the word of God, though. We are all believers. But I have this uncle. You know, he said the guy just kept saying it. He said only one person eventually noticed when the thing shrunk. You know why? Because even in their minds, when they are when they are thinking about the guy, they will see the goiter. So only one guy said, bro. And I said, that fellow was the only one who believed with him. The others, you know, there's a way you can be looking at someone and another image is before you. They are so sinking. It was almost difficult for them to now see him healed. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. What image do I have? I have the image of a healed man. Amen. I have the image of the power of God working. It will work or it will work. It's either it works or it works. What if it doesn't work? Mm-mm. It's either it works or it works. So some folks can so see it that way, and it's not impossible for them to see a healed person. You can do the same thing to your mind. Don't get used to seeing the deadness of Sarah's womb or your body now dead. Call the things that be not as though they were. What did that woman in Mark 5 do? She called the things that be not as though they were. What did Jesus tell Jairus to do? To call the things that be not as though they were. Let's go to this. What did we say when we got born again? We called the things that be not as though they were. When I say I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, I'm equally calling the things that be not as though they were. Virtually everything we say in the word is calling the things that be not as though they were. You know why we do? Because they really are. They are our reality. They are our reality. I feel, you know, I feel bad, feel condemned. But I raise my voice. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. For with the blessings of God, I'm called holy and blameless before him in love. I feel the blame in my mind. I feel it in myself, in my thinking. But I'm calling the things that be not as though they were. I lift my voice, I thank God. I say the power of God is here. I say the glory of God is here. Not like I saw anything, but I'm calling the things that be not as though they were. That's what we do when we pray. That's what we do when we praise. That's what we do when we prophesy. That's what we do when we preach the gospel. And that's what we ought to do every day. You know, this week I walk in the power of God. 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 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. What am I doing? I'm calling the things that be not as though they were. So I say, how's your week been? It's been blessed. Glory to God. How shall we be? God's power is working. Hey, but I heard that this happened in your company. Well, it's true, but the power of God is working. I'm calling the things that be not as though they were. Glory to God. So I said, but I heard this. I thought you were this. No, no. Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Calling the things that be not as though they were. I call my body healed. Hallelujah. I call my chest cleared. I call my stomach healed. I call my back healed. I call my bones straightened out. I call it as though it was. Glory to God. Pray for me, brother. I call it as though it was. And that's what is in my image. That's what I see. I see myself get up from that bed tomorrow morning strong. Hallelujah. Well, before now, I couldn't stand for 1 hour. But you know what? I call myself stand for 6 hours. Glory to God. Well, before now, I couldn't eat this, eat that, do this, do that. But I call myself healed now. I say I'm healed now. I call myself healed. I call myself healed. I call myself healed. I call the things that be not as though they were. Glory to God. He said he considered not his body. That's quite a walk. To consider not your body. You know, our feelings are so close to us that we always want to sing about them. We always want to talk about them. We want to call somebody about them. Your feelings are so close to you that sometimes there's no light. Even without feeling the heat, you bought out the fan. Mentally, you think it's going to be hot. Do you understand? Early in the morning, or there's rain. Somewhere in your mind, you think it's going to be cold. You say it already. So your feelings can appear very real. But the word of God is real. I call the things that be not. As though they were. What are the things that be not? It's not just a mere positive confession. It's what God has said. The healing power of God. The healing power of God. What do you think Jesus was doing when somebody will be crippled and they say, take up your bed and walk? He was calling the things that be not. Take up your bed and walk. Take up your bed and walk. That's what he told them. Air be opened. For some that is short, that is calling the things that be not as though they were. Begin to see. What's that? Calling the things that be not as though they were. They will turn to someone who is living in sin, say, your sins are forgiven. Calling the things that be not as though they were. I dare to call the things that be not as though they were. I dare say I'm healed. I dare say I'm healed. Glory to God. I dare say I'm strong. Amen. You know that sleeplessness is gone. Glory to God. I dare say I'm sleeping soundly. A lady called me from Nelson of America. That was like last year. She said that before she sleeps at all, she has to be injected. She had come to Nigeria. They had done all sorts of stuff. Deliverance from this. She listened to a teaching. Then she said, I've never seen her before. She said, what do I do? I said, tonight you are sleeping. She said, sir, did you see a vision? I wish I could read. Okay, remind me to read the story for you next week. Please remind me. She said, did you see a vision? She probably thought I saw something. I said, no. I just said it. You are sleeping tonight. I am going to sleep soundly. She got back to me. She said the first day she felt, maybe it just happened. She said for 1 week, I've been sleeping soundly, no drugs. I said, it's going to continue like that. Amen. You know what she now said? She said that when I said it, she first said, what I was saying. That tonight I'm going to sleep soundly. You see, it's good to hear a teaching. But it's better to hear yourself say it. Jesus said, arise and walk. What was he doing? He was calling the things that be not as though they were. I dare to speak the word. I dare to say I'm healed. I dare to say the pain is gone. Lift your hands and thank him. I dare to put God's word on my lips.